Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been thinking together, and we are thinking together, from the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. This is the object of our study in these lessons, and it'll be a long series, and so be very patient with me as you go through this series with me. We're looking at the text of the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and I mentioned before that these were some of the travel epistles. These were new churches which Paul had started on his missionary journeys. In the case of the Thessalonians, he had started these churches on his second missionary journey. He had been called marvelously and miraculously by a vision in the night. He had been called from Asia to cross the Aegean Sea and to go into the area of Macedonia, first to Philippi and then to Thessalonica. And now he's writing back to these churches to the church in Thessalonians, the Church of the Thessalonians. He's writing back to this church. And we notice in chapters 1 and 2, especially in chapter 1, how highly he commends these people as he writes to them. And what a wonderful thing it would be if God would feel the same way about us. He's writing by the Spirit of God, and God is laying upon his heart a realization of the truth that these people had followed and of the stand they had taken for the Lord, and the way their testimony had gone out, and how unashamed they were of the gospel, and how pure and holy their lives were before God. God had laid upon his heart this truth, and now he's commending them. And then in chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, the Apostle Paul is giving his own testimony. And I want to say again, he's not simply honoring and glorifying himself. He speaks in this very passage of fact that the glory was to go to God. But he is simply saying that he had tried to live a good example before them, and there was nothing in his life which anyone could point to which would take away from the truth of the message he had given them. So the Apostle Paul is giving his own testimony in an unashamed way, and yet with glory going to the Lord Jesus. And then down in the next section, beginning with verse 13, the Apostle Paul is talking about how these people had imitated his worthy walk. Paul himself had had a worthy walk before God. He's not ashamed of this. He's not boasting, but he's simply saying, I have tried to walk in a worthy manner. But now he expresses in his joy the fact that they had imitated this worthy walk, and they were walking before God in the same way. Now, we talked a number of things in this little passage between verses 13 and 20, and I want to read verses 19 and 20 for you, and then we're going to go into chapter 3. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. I want to come into this very, very carefully. None of this, of course, is taken away from the glory that belongs to the Lord Jesus. None of this is taken away from that. We, of course, honor him, and he is our glory and our joy. But how wonderful it is when we see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I, as a pastor, for instance, see somebody respond in a Sunday morning message, a Sunday morning service, somebody trusts the Lord Jesus, and then they truly believe and trust in him, and then they're baptized, and they follow him with all their hearts. What a joy this is to a pastor. What a joy it is to fellow believers to see people like this. What a joy it is when a pastor can see older Christians even, those who have been Christians for many years, growing in the Lord, going on with the Lord, faithful to the Lord, loving the Lord with all their hearts, witnessing for the Lord in every way, being a part of the great work of God. What a joy this is. So it's not wrong to be joyous about what happens in the lives of other people. This does not take away from the glory of the Lord Jesus. It's not wrong to be joyous in this way. And so the Apostle Paul here is testifying at the coming of the Lord Jesus, when Jesus comes again. Paul testifies that these Thessalonians will be his main exhibit to show the Lord, and to show to the Lord when he faces the Lord, to show to the Lord, and they will be his main source of joy and exaltation. As these people have brought great joy to him. Now, he has had sorrow in the lives of others. I've mentioned this many times concerning the Corinthians. He is sorry about the Corinthians. They have brought sorrow to him because they've been such failures in living for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are a worldly, carnal group of Christians. Now, to be fair, there were some faithful ones among them. He mentions the house of Chloe when he introduces the whole subject of their sins in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So probably this house, and there were a few other homes where the Lord Jesus was honored, where people were living faithfully for the Lord. But for the most part, that large group of believers was a carnal, wicked, worldly people. So that brought sorrow to Paul. And Paul needed encouragement in his ministry. He needed to be able to look back and to be able to say, there are some who bring great joy to me, and it's a glory to God, and I'm going to be thankful in eternity that I can present these as evidence of what God is able to do in the hearts and lives of people. Not evidence to glory to himself, but evidence of what God can do in the hearts and lives of people whom he brings to himself. And so these people are a great joy to the Apostle Paul. So he speaks of being tested in every way, but at the same time, he speaks of the fact that they have been of great joy and great glory. And at the coming of the Lord, he will be able to present them to the Lord. Now, I want to go down into chapter 3 now, and we're just going to introduce this chapter, and then we'll have to close. But we're going to introduce this chapter, chapter 3. Wherefore, verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent back Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Now let's just review for a few moments what Paul is talking about here. The Apostle Paul, of course, after winning many of these Thessalonians to the Lord, had been forced to leave that city. He had to flee, in fact, from there, clear down to the city of Athens. And of course, in almost every city, he was going to be opposed in such a manner. He was going to be opposed by those who hated the truth, those who hated the gospel. But the Apostle Paul had some co-workers that he could send back. One of them, of course, was this young man named Timothy. And Timothy, of course, he had taken from Galatia, and he had brought Timothy with him as a very young man. But apparently this young man was growing in the Lord. He had been a Christian, perhaps, from Paul's first missionary journey. That first missionary journey began in 45 A.D., and in about 51 A.D., now he comes back into Galatia again. And he sees that this young man has grown, and he takes him like a son in the faith and takes him with him on his second missionary journey. So apparently this young man now is growing in the Lord. He is following the teaching that God is giving him through the Apostle Paul, and he is growing in the Lord, and now he can be trusted with Silvanus to go back. These are fellow laborers, in other words. So he's going to send him back and send the two of them back, Silas and Timothy, back again into Thessalonica when Paul has to leave. And praise God for people who can be trusted to carry on the work, even when someone has to leave, in Paul's case, through persecution. But God can trust other people in the work, faithful servants of God. Now, we're going to see a lot about Timothy in the future. We're going to see him, of course, in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. And then Timothy is going to be commended in many other books besides. He's going to be highly commended by God. We're going to see him again, and also people like Titus and others. We're going to see these faithful workers for God in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and in other books. And so it's good, and it's a blessing when people follow on with the Lord. So the Apostle Paul could not be there himself, but these people needed to be built up in the faith. And so he sends back co-workers to build them up further in the faith. Now, there's something I want to emphasize before I go on, before we finish this study for today. And that is the importance not only of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, but growing in the grace and knowledge of him. not only believing in him, let me say this again, but growing in the grace and knowledge of him. And it's very important that we in our churches pay very close attention to the task we have of not only winning people to the Lord, but discipling them, leading them on in the faith, helping them to grow in the Lord, and themselves to take a stand for him and to live for him with all their hearts. Now, to be fair, some people do not have this desire. They should have this desire when they're saved. But some people don't seem to have much of a desire for this. If they have truly been saved, they need to turn their hearts around. They need to submit themselves to the Lord. And they need to have the desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, it is also true that sometimes in our churches, we don't have the burden to train and to disciple such people, to help them to grow in the Lord. We're satisfied, in other words, when they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no concerted effort to really build them up in the faith and to help them to go on for the Lord and to become mature, grown Christians, which God wants them to be. And so many of these people who come to the Lord simply remain babes in Christ. They never progress very far. They never take a real stand for the Lord. They never devote themselves completely to him. They never separate themselves completely from the world of the flesh and the devil and live righteous, holy lives before God. And so I think that part of the responsibility belongs to us as believers. Even one-on-one sometimes, an older believer taking a young believer under his wings, so to speak, and building that person up in the faith and helping that person to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this should be our burden and our desire. And it should be something that should be the goal of every church and of every member of the church when we see new believers coming to the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul is a very burden for these people. Now, this passage that we have read, we've just only read a couple of verses here, but this passage we have read has to do with their further proof of having a worthy walk. He had mentioned this in the previous passage, beginning of verse 13 down to verse 20 of chapter 2. But now, he is pointing out their further proof of having a worthy walk. So, first of all, and we're going to see this in the first verses, Paul is deeply grateful that they have a loving concern for the afflictions that he is undergoing. In other words, these people had a love for Paul. It's not only his love for them, but they have a love for him. And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters who may be listening, we should love our pastors. We should have a deep affection, a deep love for them. We as pastors never claim to be perfect. Sometimes we will fail in one way or another, and we have to acknowledge where we fail. But we pastors need the love of our people. We need to know that people care for us just as we care for them. That these believers in the church, whether deacons or Sunday school teachers or ordinary believers in the church, that they care for their pastor is very important to us, and it's encouraging to us. It helps us to go on for the Lord. So the Apostle Paul is very grateful for this. Now, not every church would share the same burden, and some might even take these afflictions as something he deserves or even work to make their impact worse. It's interesting, we're not covering this passage, but in Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 to 17, Paul was in prison. He needed encouragement. The Philippians were giving him this encouragement. In every way, the Philippians were responding to his need as he was in prison. But, apparently, there were some of the brethren in their preaching who were tearing him down. We don't know who these brethren were. It could have been the Corinthian preachers, who didn't especially care for him at all, who had no love or concern for him. They were modeling after the people of the church. They were the preachers, but they didn't care for the Apostle Paul. And so the Apostle Paul says that they thought to add to my affliction. They were adding, they were making it worse for me in the prison cell because they were preaching against me. Now the Apostle Paul wasn't bitter against them. He says in a later verse, verse 17, one way or the other, the gospel is still being preached, and in this I rejoice. But nevertheless, it hurt him, because a pastor needed their love and their affection. He's also concerned that the afflictions he is enduring will cause him to doubt the way God works or even their faith itself. And this is very important for us to understand, and I want to close with this. In fact, I need to close in just a moment. But I want to close with this, and that is that when we go through difficulties in life, these things are to be expected, but they're not to be regretted, and they're not to be something we become bitter about or things that cause us to doubt. We don't doubt our faith because of afflictions or trials that we go through. We live in an unfriendly world. We live in a hostile world, and therefore we are going to go through certain afflictions in life, and this is to be expected in the Christian life. However, the rewards of belonging to the Lord Jesus, the value of belonging to the Lord Jesus, far, far, far outweigh any difficulties that we ever go through in life. Some may experience financial difficulties, family difficulties, opposition from friends and neighbors and so forth, but nevertheless, the joy that we have in the Lord Jesus far outweighs, is a far greater value than anything we could possibly go through for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And so, let's be encouraged. Let's not doubt when we hear of the afflictions of others or we go through afflictions ourselves. Let's go on for the Lord, rejoicing in Him. May the Lord help you, each one.